before Him, face to face. Well, tell Him, you are good. But even if you've had a bad week, He's still good. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He doesn't change. We change sometimes. So if you come in with a bad day, a bad hair day, bad week, whatever it looks like, He's still good. And He's still in the room, and He's still doing something. Even when we can't see it, seemingly, He's still working. Will we sing that one? No. Freak them out. Put our first scripture up here. We're in our kind of vision for the year. Part of our vision is prayer and discipleship. In addition to that, we've been opening up, as every church should, the word on evangelism. So when I go into 1 John chapter 5, read a few verses here, then I believe the Lord has laid some really lovely stuff on my heart for my people this morning, for the congregation. It says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, amen, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Praise God. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have asked what we asked of Him. Amen. So as we journey through this series and this season of evangelism, here's the first thing, perhaps we are, the third thing we're seeing in here as we walk through this. Is it perhaps time that we upped our game in the area of prayer? Perhaps we need the boldness outlined here in 1 John verses 4:15. Our prayer times, having our prayer times in order to do battle for souls. Glory. These prayers that overcome obstacles, but also they are prayers that motivate, move heaven and move God. These are the prayers. Understand this. Prayer is a beautiful gift that God has given to you and I. It's lovely. Prayer is mysterious, yet intimate. It's mysterious yet intimate. It is the breath of our relationship with God. Hallelujah. And yet many times we use prayer as a personal shopping list. Hello. So God can fill our basket. Understand this today, dearly beloved. Prayer is about finding and doing God's will. And one of His greatest desires is that the lost of this world are saved. Praise God. We're not just talking prayers, are we? We're talking power-packed prayers. We're talking powerful prayers. Let's look again, perhaps, at some of the prayer meetings that turned the world upside down in their day. And I want this morning to quickly, means nothing, focus on three principles of powerful praying. Number one, principle one for those taking notes, is God-focused prayers. What else would they be? God-focused. We're going to break this into A and B. A is get tapped in or tuned in to God's agenda. Not my agenda, but God's agenda. Let's look at the way the apostles approached Jesus in the Gospels, and then the way they approached Him in the book of Acts. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, their request, now check this out yourself, but their request included calling fire down from heaven to consume those who rejected Jesus. Sending people away hungry and sitting on the right or left hand of the throne when they got to heaven. That was some of their prayers. And we know now some of their actions were incredibly immature, much like some of ours. They constantly, biblically, demonstrated a lack of faith, tried to stop little ones from coming to Jesus, tried to stop someone from casting out demons, and now and then, it wasn't all bad or gloomy, they would get it right, but most of the time, if you look at the Gospels, the disciples were way off course when it came to Jesus and his mission, and so the Lord rarely did anything that they actually asked him to do. But when you turn to the book of Acts, glory to God, hallelujah, you find a completely different focus in their lives and in their actual asking. Look at the book of Acts. Acts records no account. I'll say it again. Acts records no account that they ever failed in their faith again. Actually, when God looked on their prayer meetings or looked in on their prayer meetings, things like 3,000 were converted on a single day. The place where they prayed were shaken. The prison door swung wide. Some tremendous transformations began to take place. Some radical change had occurred. So what made the difference? Now we know in Acts, the difference was He, the Holy Spirit. And because He had now impacted and empowered them, all of a sudden they went from being on their own agenda to getting on God's agenda. Glory. They stopped now seeking a seat on Jesus' right hand and left hand and began praying for boldness to testify directly in the face of persecution, trial, and difficulty. They finally, hallelujah, put behind them their days of fishing and are now focused on shepherding the people of God. They stopped from tripping over their very own circumstances and started seeking power from on high to preach the gospel. They changed from being self-centered and now they found themselves God-centered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Change of agenda. Tapped into God in Acts chapter 4, verses 24 to 25. Look at this. Peter and John were released from prison with threats of what would happen to them if they actually spoke out the name of Jesus again. And so the Word of God tells us they reported this to their friends who immediately go to prayer. They went to prayer. And this is what Scripture says. Hallelujah. When they heard this, they raised their voices to God together and said, Master, you are the one who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. You said through the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of our father David, your servant, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot futile things? Other translations say it slightly different. Why are they praying these things? Why are they praying these things, quoting Scripture back to God and reflecting on the history of God's purposes? 5 verses telling God exactly who He is and 2 verses asking God for boldness. I mean, why didn't they pray? Like, hey, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for letting our friends out of this mess. And Lord, we want to be really honest with you. At that point, we were really scared. Would you now, Lord, would you come and protect us? Look at Scripture. Their concern was not their protection, not at all, but God's purposes being secured above and beyond through their suffering. Not for their reputation to be maintained, but for God's Son. Not for shelter, but for Holy Ghost boldness. And the result, look at Scripture, and the result was the place where they were praying was shaken as a physical sign of the power of God falling on them, and they were all empowered by the Holy Spirit for gospel purposes with a renewed boldness and faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, church, glory, let's be honest here. So I'll be honest. We spend a whole lot more time praying, in a sense, for God to keep Christians out of heaven than for Him to get the lost out of hell. Think about this. You've become confused. Think about this. God heal and help us is prayed far more often than God save and sanctify. I'll say that again. You misunderstood. We often pray, God, heal us and help us. That's prayed far more often than save and sanctify. Now, hear my heart and don't get me wrong. God is my healer. Praise God. And we are commanded about praying for sickness and provision, and we will do so, and we've witnessed God at work in a mighty way in the lives of people through our church. But we need to understand that is just one of many kingdom issues about which you and I are to pray. Just one. When most of our praying has become about our wants, our needs, and our concerns, we will see the working of God in trace amounts. And listen, church, how our culture and how our world needs to see His mighty manifest power work throughout His church in this generation like never before. It must happen and it must flow throughout the church of Jesus Christ. We need to tune into His agenda. We need to tap in and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And then that leads on to follow God's lead in all of our prayers. I mean, have you ever wondered? Have you ever wondered how Elijah had faith God would respond to his prayer to send fire from heaven and consume a water-soaked sacrifice? Let's be honest, how could Moses ever believe the Red Sea would be split wide open when the Egyptian army was bearing down directly on the people of Israel? I mean, how could Joshua have the faith to ask for the sun to stand still? What made Jesus think a four-day dead Lazarus would rise again? I've come to the conclusion this week. I got revelation now. I'm no too old for it. And this is the conclusion I have come to. Lord, have mercy. I believe they asked for the impossible. Now hear me. I believe they asked for the impossible because these men and women in Scripture, they were so God-oriented that they knew what He was doing and what it meant for that time. Are you hearing this? This is important for us as a church. Elijah explained before the fire fell that God was doing what? He was turning Israel's heart back to Himself through the answer to his prayers. Moses had spent private time before the Lord until God told him what he was going to do. Joshua recognized that God was fighting for them, so he actually asked God for more daylight to finish the job. And Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus declared prior to raising Lazarus from the dead that God was going to save those who were watching. Are you hearing this? This is important for our prayer lives. Let me tell you what I see. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. I believe in each case, and this is where we come to the place of intimacy in our walk with God. I believe in each case, they were actually able to discern the activity and the intent or the heart of God prior to asking. Are you hearing this? They knew what God wanted. They knew as men what God desired, so they asked God for it. How did they know? How did they know? Well, listen to this. Notice that in each case, this is the place we want to be. Notice that in each case, that discernment and knowledge flow directly from the relationship with Jesus. Oh, that is huge. That is huge. Massive for us. Their discernment and knowledge flowed from this intimate, real relationship with God. In other words, they had paid. These men, they had paid the price and time with the Lord in scripture and prayer, so they now understood God's perspective on their life, but also on their ministry and on their work. And once they got it, once they understood it, they began to set about Abba's business, their father's business. Hear this today. They sensed in these moments, have you sensed this recently? They sensed God's power. Have you felt it recently? They sensed God's power working through them as they joined in work with God. They knew exactly what God wanted done. They asked Him for it and God answered, amen. Praise God that He does. Now, we believe 2,000 years later or more, we believe that Jesus could do all that He did because He was the Son of God, and rightly so. But I believe the Lord wants you and I to understand this connection. Hear this today. Hear my heart today. He wants us to understand this connection, and it is direct. It is a line between discerning the heart of God and asking for what God already wants to give us. Listen to what He says in John chapter 5, verse 19-20. Jesus replied, I assure you, the Son is not able to do anything on His own, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does these things in the same way. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him everything He is doing. And He will show Him greater works than these so that you will be amazed. He comes back repeatedly to this theme in John 9, in John 12, in John 14. He said, I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. John 12, for I have not spoken on my own, but the Father Himself who sent me has given me a command as to what I should say and what I should speak. John 14, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who lives in me does His works. Hallelujah. Jesus discerned the heart of God and then He acted. He walked with His heavenly Father and asked for what already knew the Father wanted, and it was done, and He calls you and I to walk out exactly the same walk that Jesus was called to walk out while He walked on earth. Church, discernment, hear this. This is part of our vision. If you want to know why your prayers maybe are not being answered, listen to this. Discernment comes to those who have a lifestyle of prayer focused on God's glory, focused on God's ways, focused on God's purpose, so much so that you begin to see things now directly from God's perspective. And every time that kind of God-centeredness has come to God's people, at that very moment, the power of God is going to be unleashed. Praise God. Let me bring it down to harsher terms. Glory to God. You see, there's no point, this is the ministry of discernment and intimacy, there's no point really, although you can do it, in sending me your prayer requests for a Monday night. Heal this one, heal that one, heal the next one. Need a job, need more money, need finances. That's great. We will take them, we'll pray for them all day long. But if you want your prayers answered in relationship with God, connecting with God in spirit and in truth, if you want that to happen, while you are at home with a coffee watching EastEnders, while you've sent your prayer request into the prayer meeting and you're wondering why that prayer's not been answered, you might want to think about that. You might want to think about that. That's not criticism. That's not judgment. That's just a part of this walk that we want to walk out before God. Keep sending your prayer requests in. Most of you have valid reasons for not being at Abide or prayers or whatever, and that's fine. But if you're doing something alternative and sending them in, then you're wondering, why did I not get that job? Because you weren't down there. Father, I am absolutely sold out for you. I am desperate. I love you, God. Would you grant me my heart's desire? Now you can do that. But like I say, if you're doing something contradictory to your prayer, are you hearing this? Are you hearing this? Don't hate me. The truth will set you free. Start operating in this realm, you begin to see your prayers answered. I'm going to move on. I'll move through the next two quickly because I've hurt you enough this morning. Next one's for me. It's for me. It must operate out of a clean heart, principle two. A clean heart. Every Sunday morning before we come into this sanctuary, it's our prayer in the prayer room. God, give us clean hands and a pure heart before you. We don't want to touch anybody in this sanctuary if we're unclean or ungodly or impure in any facet whatsoever. But hear this morning, and this relates to what I've just said. God has always required, always, a right heart. Say heart. A right heart from those to whom he will reveal himself. Are you hearing this? This is all biblical. And all who miss that point, miss God. All who miss it, miss God. In the first pages of Scripture, this was established in Genesis chapter 4. Look at it for yourself. Check everything I am saying. Cain and Abel bring their offerings to God. The Bible then reports that God respected Abel's offering, but he did not accept Cain's. Oh, can you imagine? The Bible makes it plain and clear that God's accepting or rejecting of their offering followed his acceptance or rejection of the person making the offering. God's willingness to respond was directly linked, as I've mentioned, to the condition of the heart of the person worshiping. Told you it's good stuff today. What was established in this early incident rings true throughout Scripture today. God, listen to this. God answers an individual or God answers a church. How? In proportion to how they are walking with God. Clear. God never differentiates between the thing requested and the one making the request. Another way to say that is this. Now hear this today. God doesn't just answer prayer. He answers you. Did you hear that? We need to start praying, God, please answer my prayer. God, answer me. Hear my heart. Hear my cry. Talk to me. Spirit of God, speak to me. He just doesn't answer prayers. He wants to communicate directly with his children. He wants to talk to us. It's massive when we get hold of this. And this little story here, fact, never, ever, ever, ever gets boring. An example of what I've spoken occurred in a prayer meeting in the Hebrides, glory to God, in 1949. Christians had this imploring for God for some time to send revival, but not just revival, they called it awakening. I love that word. A Friday night prayer meeting in a barn, a young deacon prayed from Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who can forget it? Who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in the holy place? Listen to it. Glory. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not set his mind on things which are false. Are you hearing this? Scripture. And who has not sworn deceitfully. That's what it says. The young man then began to ask if his heart was pure before God. He read this passage again, and in the room he challenged the praying group. He said, brethren, hey, we have been praying for weeks waiting on God, but I would like now to ask you, are your hands clean? Glory. Are your hearts pure? And as they continued to wait before God, his awesome kalarabasandorobokiliai, shalalalalaliandorobokariai, began to flow into the room. Don't worry about me. Lovely. His presence just swept into the barn, and at 4 a.m., they, in the words of Duncan Campbell, moved out of the realm of the common, hallelujah, and into the natural, into the sphere of the supernatural, and Campbell says, that is revival. The psalmist says this in Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You see, you help or hinder the movement of God's Spirit in accordance to the depth of your repentance. Principle 3. All together, in one place, in one accord, unity. 5 times in the first 5 chapters of Acts, the Bible tells us that the disciples were in unity, were in one accord. It's the Greek word homothumadon. Homothumadon, koroboshondai. I'd be as well saying that. It basically means same passion combined, heart glow. Oh, I like that. Shared glow. There was among them a mutual experience of the same burning heart. Hallelujah. The same burning passion, the idea, the heart of unity, of fellowship and agreement in purpose, desire, attitude, all mark the dynamic nature of them coming together, praying together, being together in one accord together and seeing the power of God move. How important, therefore, was unity to Jesus? In the last moments with his disciples, he prayed earnestly for that oneness. Listen to his prayer to the Father, not just for those immediate disciples, but this is for you and I today from John 17. I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their message. May they all be as one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us, so the world may believe you sent me. I have given them glory you have given me. May they be one as we are one. Hallelujah. I in them, you are in me. May they be completely one, so the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Praise God. You see, we reflect God's glory to the lost and sanctify God's name through our loving, selfless, servant-like attitudes towards one another. And this harmony is directly connected to God's manifest presence and power in the pages of Scripture. You see, God reserves, listen to this, God reserves some of his strongest words for those that would cause or bring discord. These words are found in Proverbs 6. Let me give you them. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him, praise God. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet are quick to rush into evil. A false witness who pours out lies. And a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Lord help us. Paul issued this call to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 4 verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. Hallelujah. May we make that call our pursuit as we move closer to what God intended when he called us a house of prayer. Hallelujah. Church, we stand here today, listen, knowing that God's will is when it comes to the lost, he wants lost people to be saved. 2 Peter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So dearly beloved, if we know that God's will is for the lost, is to be saved, then shouldn't we begin to pray for our lost friends and our family members to be saved, to be rescued from this world? And I believe today we can pray with confidence and faithfulness for lost friends and family, because we now know, in relation to that, we are praying according to the will of God. Would you stand with me today? Before I pray, Before I pray, let me say this. This is what the Spirit led me to this morning. When you come in, you might have ripped up or dumped a little piece of white paper on your seat. Anything you find in your seat when you come into church, I've put there, which means it's there for a purpose. So don't disregard it until at least after church is finished. Tomorrow night, we're going to carry this sermon, this message, into a prayer night. And the suggestion is simply this. If you have a family member, a friend, or lost one, or someone you know is backslidden that you love, just write their name in that little bit of paper and fold it up and lay it at the cross here today. We will then gather them up. You can do it anonymously or as openly as you want. We will then take them into the prayer night tomorrow night with the cross, and I give you a guarantee that every piece of paper and every single name on it will be mentioned. It will be prayed over. It will be shouted out. That's the idea for today. Why are we doing that? Because we're called to pray for our lost family members. We're here to stand and believe for household salvation. Amen. We believe it in Christ and Christ alone. So don't shrug this off unless you don't have the faith for it. If you have the faith for this, do it and then expect God to move on your behalf. So I'll read it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship for a few minutes. We're not going to linger around. By the way, there's pens on the back wall there. 100 of them, so don't worry, you get one. If you want to engage in this, okay, let me pray. Father, search our hearts and search our minds today. And I pray that you'd reveal to us what is not of you. Father, purify us as we seek your will and called us to be your intercessors. Father, help us to daily put on the armor of God, stand firm, and commit to prayer for our community and our country. Father, help us shine the love and mercy of God, never losing sight that our struggle is not with other people, but against the spiritual forces that influence us. And Father, hallelujah, we pray for revival. We pray for spiritual awakening to sweep through our town, our country, and the world in Jesus' name. And Lord, we come to you today asking for your help and guidance for our dear family and friends who are lost, who are wandering. And we pray your will, your spirit, will reach out to them and show them your love and your grace. For we know that you're a loving, hallelujah, and merciful God. And we know that nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible for you. Father, we trust in your power to save. And today I ask that you open their eyes and hearts to this amazing gospel truth. We pray that you'll give them the strength to turn away from sin and to follow you. We pray you'd surround them with other believers who can support and encourage them in their journey. Father, we ask that you give us the wisdom and the discernment to best pray for them and support them in their spiritual journey. And we pray for the patience and perseverance to trust in your timing and your plan. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace and hope of eternal life through Jesus. And we pray these things in your holy name. Amen. Amen. So as we worship, if you want to engage in this, please do so. Don't be embarrassed to walk to the back and get a pen. This is eternal stuff. It's eternity stuff. If you've got a family friend that we can pray for and raise their name to heaven tomorrow night, you lay that card, bit of paper down at the cross, and we will cover that for you in Jesus' name. Peter.